Amen, amen. Well, it's so good to be back, okay, to see all of you. We're going to finish off this series that Pastor Chris has put together on discipleship and world mission. And so, but before we're going to read, okay, this passage of scripture, Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20. Why don't we stand together, okay, as always, to read, okay, the Word of God, all right, which we do here as always in honor, respect of the Word of the living God, okay, together. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age." Again, Father, we are so grateful to you that you preserve your word over the centuries, O God, for our teaching, our training, our rebuke, our correction, so that we, your children, O God, would be trained and equipped to be mighty men and women of God, doing great and powerful exploits for you and the purpose of the kingdom. And so take your word and speak to each one of us and draw us in response. Again, Father, we pray in Jesus' wonderful name. God's wonderful people say, amen, amen. Will you take your seats? Amen, amen. Well, today being Father's Day, what happens is three boys, 10-year-old boys, very excited about their fathers. And you know, how many of us, our children love to boast about us, parents. So few only, my goodness, we're all in trouble this morning as fathers. You know, these three boys, 10-year-old boys, got together and you're discussing, okay, with each other how proud they are about their fathers. The first boy stood on the stool and said, "You know what, my father's a doctor. He works as a surgeon, in fact, and he does an operation just for 2 hours. He's paid 20,000 ringgit. Wow, the other two boys, it's amazing, amazing, amazing. Well, said the second boy, got onto the stool. "You know what? My father works as a lawyer. He only needs to argue for 1 hour. He gets paid 20,000 ringgit also. Wow, fantastic, wonderful, wonderful." The third boy got onto the stool and he said, "You know what? My father is a pastor. But you know what? Although my father's a pastor, he preaches for only 45 minutes. When he takes a collection, he requires six people to carry in the money." Okay? How many want to be pastors now? See? My goodness, no one here. All of you need prayers, okay? All right, isn't it? Well, talking about that, sometimes, you know, mothers are also very proud about their children. Hello? Listen, some mothers are very proud about their sons, okay, their daughters. Okay, so these three mothers got together, very proud about their sons. The first one, okay, mother stood up and said, "You know what, my son, okay, we are from the Catholic Church. My son, in fact, works as a priest. And whenever he walks by, people say, 'Oh, father, wow, fantastic, fantastic.'" The second lady got up, "You know what, we are from the Anglican Church. My son works as a bishop of the Anglican Church. And whenever he walks past, people say, 'My Lord Bishop.' Wow, fantastic, fantastic." The third one, lady from the Methodist Church, she said, "You know what? My goodness, my son is only a young man. But when he dresses up well, he walks past, all the ladies say, 'Oh my God.'" We are all proud about our fathers, about our mothers, about our kids and everything else, isn't it? But friends, you know, you and I, it is so important to recognize what God has called us to. And sometimes even amongst us men, you know, we discuss about how committed we are to a world mission and discipleship, isn't it? Talking about these three men got together and it somehow or other, the conversation wandered into the commitment to world mission and discipleship. And so what happens? They talk about money, how much we all give to show our commitment to world discipleship and mission. And so the first man said, "You know what, I'm from the Presbyterian Church. How do I give my money towards, okay, discipleship and world mission? What I do is this, I draw a small circle around me. I throw my money up into the air. Whatever falls inside the circle, I keep outside the circle, God keeps." Wow, fantastic. The second man, okay, from the Anglican Church, he says, "You know what, I draw a big circle around, I throw the money up into the air. Whatever remains inside the circle, I keep outside the circle, God keeps." My goodness, the third man from the Methodist Church, he said, "You know what? I make life easy for God and for me. I draw no circle. I just throw the money up in the air. Whatever remains up in the air, God keeps. Whatever comes out, I keep." Said to your neighbor, "He's not talking to people from DUMC. Will you do that?" Okay? DUMC people, I trust, don't behave like that. All God's people say. So important, isn't it? Our commitment to mission and discipleship like this. Friends, you know, sometimes I know we've been asked by people, Look at UMC today, what has become. It is just amazing what has become. And say the size, the facilities, and everything else. And so they asked me, Pastor Daniel, when you started UMC together with the leaders, what was your vision and mission? I say, what? Vision and mission? Some 40 years ago, nobody talks about vision and mission. It is only a recent invention of mission and vision. I said, you know what? You want to know about vision and mission? The only vision I know at that time was television. Hello, isn't it? Where do we talk vision and mission? Unless this last 25, 30 years or so, everybody talks about vision and mission. In those early days, nobody talks about it. But friends, you know what? There is one man who talked about it 2,000 years ago. Way before everyone else thinks about it, dreams about it, there's this man who talked about it. This man from a small little village, a village of no more than 200 people, an unknown village, unseen, unrecognized almost on the map of the world. But this man talked about it, the man, Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus has a vision, and this is quite amazing, all right? He had not only a vision, Jesus had a global vision, my friends. A worldwide vision, okay? Why? Because here in Matthew, again, 28 verses 19 and 20. Come, let's read together again. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. You see, friends, it's amazing. Jesus says, go into all the world and make disciples. No one else has thought about that. Imagine, friends, Jesus, only 30 years old, a young man from an unknown village, right? A man who has the audacity to stand up and say, go into all the world. No other religious guru or teacher, whoever else, would have the courage, the audacity to say, go into the world. But Jesus Christ, when 2,000 years ago, tells his disciples, go into all the world and make disciples of all nations. Jesus Christ, friends, had a global vision. Not only had a global vision, friends, Jesus Christ had an unmatched mission as well. An unmatched mission. Why? Because here in Luke chapter 4, verses 18 and 19, this is where Jesus Christ stood, okay, in the synagogue in Nazareth, and we were there in the month of February, 42 of us, okay, I led the team from DMC there, and standing there, okay, in the synagogue there in Nazareth, Jesus Christ opened the scripture, okay, to this passage of Isaiah, and he read to the congregation at that point of time there about really his mission in this world that he has come for. What is Jesus' mission, all right? Luke chapter 4, verses 18 and 19. Come, let's read together. The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, recovery of sight for the blind, to release oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Jesus Christ makes it very, very clear, friends, okay, the five missions he has come to fulfill. You notice here, friends, firstly, to preach good news to the poor. Secondly, friends, he has come to proclaim freedom, right, for the prisoners. Thirdly, recovery of sight for the blind. Fourthly, release for the oppressed. And then finally, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, the year of the Lord's grace, the year of the Lord's goodness. It's amazing, friends. Jesus comes into the world and announces to the whole world, this is the mission I've come for, besides seeking to fulfill the global vision of changing the world for Jesus Christ through his disciples like this, friends. And Jesus Christ, friends, fulfills it to the very last letter, okay, at the end of just only 3 years' ministry. It's just amazing. It's just mind-boggling, friends. Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, fulfills this at the heart of it all. Not only, friends, you notice, Jesus Christ has a global vision. Not only he has an unmatched mission, but thirdly also, you notice, friends, Jesus Christ had an unsurpassed blueprint for the kind of society to build. Jesus Christ has an unsurpassed blueprint for the kind of society to be built on earth. What is this? Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 to 17. This is really the Ten Commandments, friends. In the Ten Commandments, it's a blueprint of the kind of society that God wants us to build on earth. And Jesus Christ fleshes out in a perfect manner for all of us, friends, in Exodus chapter 20, like this. Friends, you know, the Ten Commandments is not a set of do's and don'ts. The Ten Commandments is more than a set of ethics. The Ten Commandments is really a blueprint for the kind of society that God wants us to build. Firstly, for the people of Israel, and today for the Church of Jesus Christ on earth. Can a good amen for that? Friends, you know, Jesus Christ is an unsurpassed blueprint, okay, about the Ten Commandments. Why? Just take one example. You shall not steal. Now, you shall not steal is not just taking other people's things illegally. you shall not steal. But friends, respecting everybody else's property. All right? Respecting everybody else's property. And so as long as it's not yours, you shall not take. As long as it's not yours, you have no right to lay your hand on. And therefore, friends, you know, if you were to drop your purse or your wallet this morning here, okay, in the auditorium, next week you come back here, it will be there. It will be there. It should be there. It must be there. Hello? Isn't it? That's the kind of society it ought to be. And therefore, friends, you drive your car and park within Dream Center, no need to lock your car. That's what it should be, isn't it? Right now. Think about it. What an amazing society to live in. What a wonderful society where we don't have to lock our houses, our cars. We can leave it anywhere we like, leave our bicycle anywhere we like. We come back a week later, it'll all be there. Just what it is, friends, the outworking of the Ten Commandments. And so, friends, just one commandment, just to show how society will be transformed in a radical manner if we just don't steal, which is not just taking other people's things illegally, respecting everybody else's things, and do not touch them at all. So they may come back anytime, every time, it will be there like this. Listen, friends, all right, no time for me to expound. Go and listen to the sermon I preached 7 years ago on the Ten Commandments, taking the commandment through one by one, okay? Just one by one, and how it works out in practice like this. And therefore, friends, of all people who must model this, it must be the Church of Jesus Christ and all God's people say. Because if the words be convinced, the Church must model this. Listen. And so it's an amazing manner, friends, you notice that here, in the life of Jesus, not only has a global vision, not only has an unmatched vision, friends, but also it's an unsurpassed blueprint for the kind of society you and I, as God's people, must be building on earth. Fourth and finally, friends, you notice he has got an unbelievable manifesto as well. Not just he's got a vision and a mission and a blueprint. He's got a manifesto worked out in practice, which is taken from Matthew chapter 5 Matthew chapter 5 to chapter 7. All right? An unbelievable manifesto that Jesus Christ lays it out for all of us. Okay? Take one example. Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount here, which is Matthew 5, 6, and 7, just take one example. Jesus says, for example, you have heard it was said of old, you shall not murder. Jesus goes on now to say, you have heard of old that you shall not murder, which is one of the commandments, one of the Ten Commandments. But I say to you, if you're angry with your brother in your heart, you have committed murder. Isn't it amazing? Jesus Christ takes it even further than our normal understanding of murder, which is taking the life of someone else. It has just been angry with someone in your heart, you've committed murder. Jesus Christ says, for example, all right, you have heard it was said of old, do not commit adultery, which is another commandment. Jesus Christ takes it further and says that if you look at a woman lustfully, you commit adultery in your heart. Friends, that's the outworking of Jesus' vision and mission and blueprint. The kind of society to be worked out really in practice, in day-to-day interaction and living like this. And that's the reason why, friends, Jesus Christ had a manifesto. And if you and I were to practice Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7, the world will be changed and transformed. And all God's people say. That's the reason why, friends, you know, Mahatma Gandhi, he carries with him all the time this passage of the Bible, Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7, the Sermon on the Mount that he carries with him. And he seeks to practice this even though not a Christian. He seeks to practice. And you know what he says to the Christians in India? He holds this book up and he says to the Christian in India, if you all Indian Christians were to live by this book, by this passage of scripture, the whole of India would be changed and transformed. Friends, that's a challenge for us. That's a challenge for you, for me. Can a good amen for that? And that's a call of God, friends, for all of us, therefore, to fulfill the vision and the mission of Jesus, to fulfill really for you and I, friends, the whole area reaching out to the world for Jesus Christ and drawing them people to faith in Christ and begin to disciple them in a wonderful way. Now, how does it work out in practice? Right? The Bible tells us two areas Jesus Christ works it out in practice. Firstly, to his own people. How did Jesus reach out to his own people in terms of vision and discipleship, or mission and discipleship in this case? Yeah. Right, Matthew chapter 3, verses 13 to 15. Come, let's read together. Jesus went up on a mountainside and called to him those he wanted. And they came to him. He appointed 12, designating them apostles, that they might be with him and that he might send them out to preach and to have authority to drive out demons. Friends, three things are underlined here, okay, that I want to bring to our attention. Firstly, friends, here in the life of Jesus, in his mission and discipleship to his very own people, the Jews themselves, Jesus, friends, firstly called people to him. And so verse 13 again, come, let's read. Jesus went out on the mountainside and called to him those he wanted, and they came to him. Jesus Christ called people to him. For what? He calls people for the relationship with him. He calls people to know him first, in the first place. And friends, the reality is this about life and living. If we don't know who this God is, we will never know who we are. I'm sure you heard about Joseph Schooling. Okay? The swimmer in Singapore who beat Michael Phelps in 50 meters, okay, freestyle, to the shock of everybody, but to the great joy of everybody in Singapore. Hello? I know sometimes, you know what? Some people, wherever they go, they bring joy. Other people, whenever they go, they bring joy. Okay, never mind. Okay, you haven't got it yet. Let's come back. Okay, these are simple English lessons. Okay, all right. Okay, you have not caught it. Never mind, let's come to this. Until in the papers, when Joseph Schooling became an icon in Singapore and world famous as a result of that record, then I read the name of the lady. I said, my goodness, I met this lady. In fact, I conducted the funeral of her brother-in-law here in PJ. She's actually an Ipoh girl. Malaysia, very good old. Hey, you don't believe, huh? Come on. Malaysia exported amazing products around the world, you know. Yeah, really. In the church camp I speak in, so many are Malaysians there. Singapore church camps I spoke in just in the last 2 weeks. So many Malaysians all in Singapore. No wonder someone from our midst not long ago went down for medical treatment in this hospital. When he walked in, you know what the doctor said to him? Welcome to the Malaysia clinic. Because all the doctors in that particular department, all Malaysians. See how much we have lost. Hello? Send them all home lah. Malaysia will be so much better. But friends, you know, you and I got to understand, isn't it? We will never know who we are until we know who He is. That's why, friends, life starts from a relationship with God in Jesus Christ. And that's what He wants you and I to do, friends. Who are you? Managing director, CEO, company director, richest tycoon, or whatsoever else. That's not a point. Don't you know who I am? Don't you know who I associate with? Don't you know, okay, where I live? Don't you know the car I drive in? That's all not a point. The point is, who are you? And people have difficulties in answering. And I say to these non-Christian CEOs, I pray that you will not receive a wake-up call when you're lying there in a hospital bed with tubes running all over your body, all right, with a multi-million stash away, and suddenly it hits you, and you think, my goodness, is this how I'm going to end my life? What's the meaning of life, by the way? Am I a workhorse, work machine, accumulate all this wealth, somebody else gets to enjoy, boom, and then I die? What's the meaning? Friends, I trust we will wrestle with this issue of who am I, which is identity of life and living. And that's why Jesus is primarily concerned, first and foremost, about calling people to Him, right, for a relationship with Him. Because once you and I have a relationship with Christ, we begin to know who we are. Why? Because it comes from knowing who He is first, the Lord Jesus Christ. Can a good amen for that? That's why 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. And all God's people say, we become new creation in Christ. We discover identity in Christ, not in things, not in position, not in power, not in success, not in wealth, not in titles, awards, degrees, although some of us have many degrees but no temperature. Never mind, forgive them for that. But friends, it is so important, isn't it, to know where our identity lies. Critical for all. And that's why, friends, Jesus first and foremost wants to call us to Him for a relationship with Him. And so, friends, you and I must be born again. That's what Jesus says, right? To Nicodemus, you must be born again. And He says to all of us, see, friends, being born in a Christian family doesn't make us a Christian. Now, all those agree, say, isn't it? Being born in a Christian family doesn't make us a Christian. We and I need to be born again. Because if being born as a Christian makes me, born in a Christian family makes me a Christian, then if you're born in a garage, it makes you a car. It doesn't work like that, isn't it? So, friends, first and foremost, call for a relationship with Him. Secondly, friends, call to be with Him. All right, and so verse 14, let's read together. He appointed 12, designating them apostles, that they might be with Him and that He might send them out to preach. That they might be with Him, friends. That's the second thing. Not only called to him, called to be with him. Why? Because Jesus' concern is not only a relationship with him. Jesus' concern, second now, is discipleship in him. Jesus wants to disciple them. And that's why, friend, Jesus Christ spends 3 years. He spends 3 years walking, journeying, eating, dreaming, talking, teaching, correcting, rebuking, all that is necessary, right, in order to help the disciples be true followers of Jesus Christ. And that's why, friends, when Jesus Christ was taken up to heaven 3 years later after his ministry, his original 12, they became 11, because Judas Iscariot betrayed Jesus. The 11, and then Matthias was added on to be number 12 in the book of Acts, you remember chapter 1. Okay, it became back to 12 again. Friends, the 12 disciples went on to change the world for Jesus Christ. You know, that's the power of it all, okay? And that's the reason why, friends, today, the vision of Jesus has been fulfilled, because Jesus said, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. That's why today, friends, right, the disciples of Christ are found in every country on earth, and all God's people say. That's the power of it all, friends. One simple 30-year-old man, unknown, unseen, okay, and from an unknown village, his vision, that one single man, 30-year-old man like this, has been fulfilled, therefore, today. And that's why sometimes when I talk to people, especially speaking company functions, where I'm not introduced as a pastor, I'm introduced as Dr. So-and-so. He mentors CEOs of companies. He speaks at company functions and that kind of thing. And so when I have to quote my personal example, all right, I have to say to you, you know what, friends? I work for a global company. All right? I think my company is the most global of all companies. Every country on earth, there are branches. In Malaysia, also many branches. Just that I so happen to lead one of the bigger branches in Malaysia. I got 4,000 or 5,000 people in my company. The good thing is that I don't have to pay them. In fact, every week they bring money to my company. Oh my goodness, what do? We do all kinds of business from the day you're born to the day you die. My goodness, what kind of company is this? Not only that, you know what? Okay, in my company, whenever a person dies, you know what happens? We transport that guy to another planet called heaven. Okay, so we're involved in intergalactic business, okay? All right, we are better than Star Wars, and all the Star Wars people say, yeah, isn't it? Amazing business you and I have involved in it. So say to your neighbor, better than Star Wars, friends. Okay, better than The Force Awakens, isn't it? All right, okay. And that's what it is for you and I to share, to rejoice, to celebrate in. Why? Because Jesus' vision and mission has been fulfilled in and through us. Firstly, friends, he models for us to be called to him for a relationship with him. And then secondly, friends, he calls us to be with him in order he can disciple us. Third and finally, friends, he calls us to be sent out to preach and to have authority. And so verses 14 and 15, let's read together. He appointed 12, designating them apostles, that they might be with him and that he might send them out to preach and to have authority to drive out demons. Isn't that amazing? Jesus equips us, then he sends us out, so that we could be involved in preaching and teaching and discipling people, but also, friends, have the authority to cast out demons. And that's what you and I have, friends, an authority that we can stand firm, stand strong on, and that we dare to deal with whatever principalities and powers that is. Okay, so very important for all of us, isn't it? Allow me to share this. I have mentioned about this a few years ago. All right, one of the CEOs here in DUMC said, Pastor, can you come and pray for our construction project up in Penang? I said, sure, of course. It was a project that were involved in building a 5-star hotel. Somehow it got abandoned, and so this company from DMC took over, okay, rebuilt into a top-level super condominium, he calls it. And so therefore, when I went there to pray, okay, for the place while it's in the midst of being constructed, okay, and I was introduced to the foreman, an Indian guy. I said, hi, what's your name? He says, my name is Raymond. So good to meet you, Raymond. My name is Daniel, okay, I'm a pastor. I'm here to pray for your construction site. He said, what pray? Unheard of, a pastor come to pray. We only had good Buddhist monks coming to pray. We never had a pastor, okay? And the moment I told him about pastor, what happens? He started moving his cigarette further and further and further away from me. At least, thank God, he's got respect for the pastor. Found he's from a Catholic background. Never mind, forgive him for that, all right? Okay, then he said, you know, one of my workers the other day saw a ghost here. I say, fantastic, now I've got business to do. If there's no ghost, no business to do, because why? All the Ghostbusters excited to see ghosts, and all the Ghostbusters here say, wow, okay, not very convincing Ghostbusters here. All right? But friends, you know, that's what you and I are called, to have authority, authority to drive out demons. authority to command all the spirits to go, and they have no choice but to go in Jesus' name. Can a good amen for that? And that's what, friends, the mission of Jesus is for all of us, that we are sent out to preach, to teach, okay? Draw people to faith in Christ by authority to exercise it over whatever principalities and powers there are. But also, friends, you notice Jesus Christ models for us not just mission and discipleship to his own people, but he also models for us mission and discipleship to the Gentiles, to those who are not Jews. A perfect example I can think of, friends, is Jesus' mission to the Samaritan woman, all right, in John chapter 4 here. Okay, it's an amazing passage for you and I to understand, friends. You know why it is so radically, okay, shocking to the Jews? Because Jews will have no relationship with the Samaritans, because Samaritans are half Jews, okay? And therefore, Jews look down upon Samaritans, isn't it? Like sometimes Chinese look down upon some other races. All quiet, the Chinese, all quiet, isn't it? We call the Chinese, we Tongyang, we are people, others are not. Shame on the Chinese. All quiet now, okay? Maybe under guilt now, okay? Never mind. But really, you know, it's sad. And so the Jews, likewise, they're snobbish about themselves, about their ethnic origin, and they look down upon the Samaritans. They have nothing to do with Samaritans. You know what? Whenever those Jews, for example, up in the north, in the area of Galilee, Sea of Galilee, when they come down to Jerusalem for the annual worship, okay, in the temple in Jerusalem, you know what they will do? They will always skirt around. They will never go through Samaritan territory because it's considered taboo, all right? Jews cannot mix with Samaritans, okay? And so they will skirt around, okay, to come all the way down south to Jerusalem for the worship annually. But you know what? In the case of Jesus, he went right through Samaria, right through Samaritan territory. He broke all the mindset, okay, of the Jews themselves to show a new way forward in one's relationship with people who are non-Jews like this. And so, friends, in this account, Jesus shows to us how to reach out really, right, to the Samaritans in this case, to a woman in this case, not just Samaritan, men is bad. Even women, some of Jesus would be willing to break through, okay, and to talk with her like this. And so, friends, in this encounter of the Samaritan woman with Jesus, how did Jesus go about, friends, in really connecting and eventually securing the deal, as it were, and drawing her to faith in Jesus Christ? I think there are six lessons we can learn, okay, about the life of Jesus in his connecting with this Samaritan woman. What are they? Firstly, friends, the place of engagement, all the P's that are here. The place of engagement. Why? Because in verse 6, you notice Jesus was moving through after the long journey from Jerusalem back, okay, to Galilee. He was tired, he was thirsty. And so where do you go? The best place to go is what? A place where there is water. Isn't it? And so verse 6, let's read together. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about the 6th hour. 6th hour meaning about noontime. Okay? Friends, you know, noontime, men don't come out to draw water. Only women come out to draw water. Why? Because women are very hardworking. And all the women here say, wow, men better listen carefully. Yeah, really, right? Noontime, men don't come. Only women come. That's the reality of it all, like this. Men only come during evening hours or very early morning, okay? When it's the cool of the day. Isn't it? In a cool of the day, then only they come like this. Talking about the cool of the day, what happens is a pastor went visitation, and one day, what happens is he came to this nice, wonderful bungalow house as he was walking, okay, to the house with a lovely garden around, okay, he's walking to the house to want to visit this church member that he knows live in this lovely bungalow. So he knocked at the door, but he realized there was some sound. He realized some sound. He noticed, therefore, the church member said, he knocked at the door. Nothing happened. He knocked at the door again. Nothing happened. He knocked, knocked, knocked many, many times. Nothing happened. My goodness. This guy is in. How come he's not moving at all? How come he's so open, so unfriendly? So you know what? The pastor decided to pick up a paper, okay, and wrote down Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, and slipped into the door. And he left. So finally, when he has left, okay, the church member quietly slipped and see, my goodness, my pastor left a note for me. Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. He took the note. Okay, let me check the Bible, what it says. Okay, and the Bible, Revelation chapter 3, verse 20 says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Whoever hears my voice and opens the door to me, I will come in and eat with him and he with me. My goodness. All right. And then, you know what? He decided the following Sunday to drop a note into offering bag for the pastor. Okay, and we came to church that Sunday. He wrote down, okay, to the pastor, Genesis chapter 3, verse 10. My goodness. And so one of the counters counting money back found a note for the pastor. Okay, better hand it to the pastor. The pastor, Genesis chapter 3, verse 10. My goodness, what is it? Let me read the Bible. And the Bible says, okay, I hear you walking in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and therefore I hid. He was having a bath. He was just coming from the bathroom. The pastor knocked at the door. Okay, so just be careful when pastors come around visiting, okay? Make sure you prepare yourself nicely. No amen, isn't it? All right? And so we find that we all tend to distort scriptures and use all kinds of things to try to vindicate ourselves, what we are, and so on and so forth. And so the place of engagement. Jesus knew he was thirsty. The best place to be in a well. And at the well, Jesus engaged with this Samaritan woman. Secondly, friends, the point of conversation, okay? What is it? Verse 7, let's read together. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, will you give me a drink? Isn't it? That's a point, a common point of conversation. It's about water. Jesus is thirsty. This woman coming to draw water. And therefore, natural thing is, give me a drink. Give me some water, would you, please? Isn't it? Friends, you know, this is what it should be, and this is what you and I must learn. In connecting with our non-Christian friends, non-Christian colleagues, classmates, neighbors, whoever they may be, friends, connect with them. How do we connect with them? We connect with them by, firstly, friends, building relationships. Can I get amen for that? Just building relationships. And so with your colleagues, for example, at a place of work, go out for lunches with them, all right? Don't go out in a big group. Go out with two or three. After a while, you know who are more open for deeper conversations. And then focus on just taking the person out for lunch. Amen? Hey, you all eat or not? Well, it sounds like you see people enjoy fasting and praying like crazy. Okay, isn't it? Do we eat or not? Hello, isn't it? And so go for lunch, isn't it? All right, connect with your colleague, your friend, your classmate. And now the second thing is this, the point of conversation. Once we connect with friends, build friendship relationship, once we have done so, all right, the point of conversation, what kind of points we can connect with our friends in a conversation? And the key is this, friends, how do I turn my conversation, my ordinary conversation, into spiritual conversation so that my faith comes out? Hello? Are you there? Isn't it? I know some people say, Pastor, for you, very easier. What's your name? John. Okay? My name is Daniel. What do you do, John? Engineer. I'm a pastor. Are you a Christian? You know, I waste no time. Straight away, I go to the point. Okay? Because why? Life is short. Time is precious. Hello? You don't believe that? Okay? Some of you younger ones, in a twinkling of an eye, you will join us not so young anymore. You're not convinced, huh? Okay? Your time will, say to your neighbor, your time will come sooner than you realize. Okay? Say to your neighbor that. Really, fast by so very, very fast. Unbelievable, isn't it? So that for some of us, even including Pastor Chris Kam, that runway ahead of us is so much shorter than the runway we have covered. Pastor Chris refused to agree with me. Never mind, we pray for him. But that's a reality, friends, you know. Once you're into your 50s, you know runway is getting shorter and shorter. The runway you have covered, okay, is a lot more than the runway that is ahead of you, isn't it? Okay, including Pastor Mike Nguyen as well. All right, we all get recognized how fast time passes by, isn't it? All right, and so church, maximize our time. So for me, I waste no time. Right away, I start, isn't it? Right away, I start like this. Okay, the more I say I'm a pastor, are you a Christian, isn't it? Okay, but you know, friends, more than that, what happens is I look for lottery ticket sellers, kacang putih sellers, ice cream sellers, all these kind of people. You know why? Because for us pastors, there are so few non-Christian friends. Hello? You all don't look for kacang putih seller, lottery ticket seller. You look for your colleagues or your classmates or your neighbors. Lah. Hey, hello, are you there? Are you still there or not? Okay? Isn't it? You shut your ears, don't want to talk, don't want to listen now anymore. Yeah, isn't it? For me, because of so few non-Christian friends, we look for people outside, we go out of the way to look for them to share their faith, okay, isn't it? To make Jesus known to them. But for you, friends, can I say, you are privileged, you are blessed. I wish I'm like you. Every day in the workplace, I've got non-Christians to meet. Really, I wish I'm like you. Sometimes I feel like going back to the marketplace. How many of you like me to do that? So few only. My goodness, you all need prayers. Isn't it? Yeah, I wish I'm back in the marketplace so that I've got so many non-Christian friends amongst colleagues I can interact with, talk with, share with. I think, I could be wrong, but I think if I go back and work in a marketplace with a company, I think down the road, I might have probably led everyone to faith in Christ in a company. Really, honestly, it's not very difficult. And all the people say, you look like say you're very difficult, okay? The way your amen sounds like a constipated camel, like they're very unwilling, reluctant to respond to me. But no, really, it's true, all right? The point of conversation. And so let me give you some keys. How do you turn our conversation into spiritual conversation so that our faith comes out? Okay, one example. Talk about work, isn't it? Colleagues, work. Or students, talk about studies. And so therefore, ask your colleague, what is one thing you enjoy about working here? Let your colleague share. Then after you share, secondly, turn it around. Turn around. Ask your colleague, what is one challenge you face working here? Right now. All right, let your colleague share. Then after it comes your turn. You know what? Tell your colleague, after it, when your turn comes, you know what? You know, there's a challenge I faced working here not long ago. You know what? The assignment given by our boss, you know, can be done, just that the deadline is so short, some deadline, D-A-T-E, becomes deadline, D-E-A-D. No wonder we are all dead at the end, okay? And so what happens is, the deadline given is so short, it is almost impossible, right, to fulfill, okay, carrying out the whole thing. You know what? Humanly, it's really impossible. You know, hey John, by the way, I pray like crazy. Amazingly, you know what? I got it done. You know what, John? I could get it done because I believe God helped me. You see, now your faith comes up, isn't it? Naturally. Then you ask your friend, hey, John, by the way, are you a Christian? Hello? You follow? Is that okay? You're still not doing very convinced at all. My goodness, you need a lot of prayers this morning, looks like, for all of you, isn't it? All right, talk about work. All right, another area to talk about is about health. See, say to your colleague, okay, your classmate, hey, John, you look like really very fit and healthy. What do you do to keep yourself fit and healthy? Let John share. After that, your turn, you share, isn't it? Then turn it around. John, have you ever faced a health challenge in your life? Have you ever faced a health challenge? Let John share. And then, friends, if you face a health challenge in your life, then that's a fantastic time to share. You know, John, you know, I wasn't feeling very well. Somehow, things are not well. So I decided, after my wife pestering me like crazy, like all good wives pestered me like crazy, so reluctantly, I went to see a doctor, okay? And a kind doctor checked me through, took me through a whole series of batteries of tests, a battery of tests and everything else. At the end, a month later, I came and sat before him. And my doctor said to me this, my friend, I'm sorry to say, I don't have good news for you. Actually, you got cancer. And sadly, it is stage 4. I checked through very carefully just to make sure I'm right accurate. Sadly, I have to say, tell your friend John. John, you know what? When a doctor told me I got cancer, it was like a death sentence. My world fell apart. I became fearful. In fact, I couldn't sleep. I started losing weight rapidly. John, I went into depression. I was so afraid about death. John, you know, out of that experience, I came to faith in Jesus Christ. Out of the experience, I renewed my faith in Christ, John. John, you know, I'm still here talking to you because I believe Jesus Christ had done some work in my life. I'm still here sustained by His grace. I don't know how long I will live, but I trust Him. The fact now I can talk to you means, John, that He has kept me. John, are you a Christian? Have you thought about a Christian faith? Seriously. John, be smarter than Mila. Only when crisis hits me, I run like crazy to Jesus. I'm sure you're smarter than me, John. So, what about now? Accept Jesus, one or not? One or not? Before crisis hits you also. Let me pray for you, John. Okay? Sometimes, you know what? People need to be frightened into heaven. Hello, sir. Because why? All the when you're frightened in heaven, put fear into that. John, it may happen to you, no? So be smarter than me, lah. Don't, when crisis happens, only accept Jesus. Accept earlier, lah. Are you a smart investor, John? I'm a smart investor. Invest now, lah. Why? Because sure win one, never lose one. Hello, isn't it? Right now. That's what it is for all of us. And so, friends, find points of conversation. Talk about work. Talk about health. Talk about holidays. Isn't it? It's a great place to start. Hey, John, what is one holiday you really enjoy? Wah, da, da. And then after you share, then turn around. John, have you ever faced a real danger to your life in a holiday? Isn't it? Let John share after when it comes to your turn. Yeah, you know, John, I really face a real, real challenge in a holiday. You know, our lives are threatened. Why? Because our aeroplane decided to fly like this, the winds let fly like this, okay? And it go out of control, and every screaming and shouting like crazy. My goodness, I jump onto the seat. In Jesus' name, I command you. Oh, the plane fly. Wow, that's amazing. Whatever it is, church, you know, find ways and means to connect. Hello, are you there, isn't it? And there's so many ways to connect, honestly, friends. So many ways to connect so that your faith comes out naturally, not unnaturally. And then you talk about Jesus, isn't it? Hello, are you there, isn't it? So, friends, you know, firstly, the place of engagement. Secondly, point of conversation. Thirdly, friends, the prejudice of the woman. All right, it comes out, isn't it? Even with the Samaritan woman. Verse 9, let's read together. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew and I'm a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." See, John, Apostle John slips that in at the end, right, in brackets, in parentheses. Even Jews don't associate with Samaritans, which is true. Friends, you know, it is bad enough to talk to a Samaritan man. It is unthinkable to talk to a Samaritan woman. Jesus broke all the barriers, friends. That's how radical Jesus, and that's how wonderful Jesus is, and all God's wonderful people say. It's amazing. He liberates us, isn't it? So whatever our ethnic background, our gender, our sex, friends, Jesus Christ leverages us and makes us all on the same level, and all people on the same level say. So it does not matter about our sex, our ethnic background. It does not matter even the work we do and the background we come from, good or bad, friends. We are all the same, right? We all need the grace of Jesus, isn't it, like this? And so, friends, the woman, it may come up with a prejudice. Jesus knew his background. Hello? You read further on. Jesus said at the end to her, "Call your husband." But the woman said smartly, "I have no husband." Jesus said, "You are right, you have no husband. In fact, you have had five husbands, and the one you are with right now, the man you're with, is not even your husband." Jesus knew all the background. You know, friends, Jesus did not condemn her. Now, sometimes we tend to think, this woman is really a very loose woman. Have five husbands, that you could like it. Still want to have a sixth one like this. Okay, friends, not true at all. This woman, friends, in the days of Jesus, in the earlier days, women have no rights, unfortunately. They are taken advantage of, abused, and exploited by men. One man after keep on dropping, her. And so the woman is so desperate to hang on to any man. Why? Because women need some security, and it's men that provide security for this woman. And that's the reason, friends, she's abused and exploited. And Jesus, friends, takes time, makes time, gives her dignity and value in life. That's our Lord Jesus Christ, friends, and all God's people say. How marvelous, remarkable. So even then, she threw up her barrier, right? She constructed her own barrier. "You're a Jew, I'm a Samaritan. How can you talk to me like this?" All right? You know, sometimes when we witness to our friends, immediately the prejudice comes out. Am I right? The barrier comes out. In what way the barrier comes out? Sometimes they will say, "No, I'm not interested in Christian faith. You know, you're all Christians, all hypocrites." No. A few are hypocrites. Hello? Someone come here, Pastor. Is your church a good church? Of course. Is it a best church? Of course. You ask me, I'm very prejudiced. Okay, very best church. Pastor, got hypocrites or not? That one, we can afford one more like you. Come. It will make no difference to a church. Okay. Crazy, some people. Just mad. They're looking for a perfect church. And friends, if you found a perfect church, please, for goodness sake, don't join, because you're going to spoil that church. And all God's people who agree say, there's no such thing as a perfect church. It's a place for forgiven sinners. It's a place for you and I, for everyone on earth. So the woman even throws up a prejudice. All right? "You're a Jew, I'm a Samaritan. Cannot talk. No way. Cannot get through to me." Jesus refused to give up. And so sometimes we talk to a non-Christian, the barriers come up. You know what I mean? Say, "Christian, I've been hurt by Christians so many times." How many of you got that? Can I see your hands? How many of you hear this? Okay, isn't it? So few only. "I don't believe." And so therefore, you witness non-Christians or not. God, okay, let me see your hand. Hey, you're in church, you cannot tell lies one. Okay, let's say, okay, God is watching, friends. God is watching right now, okay? That's better, isn't it? Sometimes we meet non-Christian friends, then they will share their hurt, all right? Christians, I hurt. And I have to appeal to them, friends, you know what? If you're hurt by a Christian, forgive us. You know, sometimes we're not living according to the standard, so please forgive us. But you know what? Don't throw out the baby with the bathwater. Don't, because of a hurt, now you shut yourself off completely from Christianity. Okay? Don't look at Christians. You know what you should look at? You should look at Jesus Christ. Only He is perfect, and all God's people agree, say. Look at Jesus. Don't look at us. Because you look at us, even me as a pastor, sometimes you might get stumbled. is that sometimes, unfortunately, I hope we all be good pastors. Hello, DMC pastors. Okay, louder lah, encourage me. Okay, isn't it? I hope we'll be good pastors and wonderful pastors. Sometimes even we are pastors, unfortunately, we make mistakes. We don't intend to, but sometimes we do. Slip of the tongue, isn't it? Which is no fault of the mind. But sometimes it comes out, isn't it? All right, people get hurt. So we have a policy, I'm sorry. But tell our friends, you know, don't because of a hurt, you shut out Christianity. All right, look at Jesus. He's perfect. Why don't you consider him? Isn't it really? And so sometimes you might hear your boss telling you that, you're Christian or hypocrites. Okay, like that. Say to your boss, if your boss tells you that, boss, you're not, I'm sorry, it's true. Please forgive us. We should be living the way we ought to live as Jesus tells us, and we have not. Please forgive us. Boss, sometimes you look at me, you're also disappointed because maybe from your perspective, sometimes I'm not living up to your standard. But boss, can also be honest with you. Sometimes I look at you, I'm also disappointed. Okay? Just be careful when you say that. You might just lose your job. Okay? Yeah. God, no. How many of you got perfect boss? Can I see your hands? Anyone here? If you want, I want to talk. Oh, this young boy got perfect boss. Okay. All right. You got perfect boss. I want to see your boss. Ready? No one is perfect. Isn't it? All right? You see my flaws? Boss, you know, honestly, I see your flaws. You know why? That's why precisely Jesus came. Hello, because only he is perfect. And so, boss, you know what? Starting from next week, once a week for the next 1 month, let's do a Bible study on Jesus. What about that? Wow, your boss will be so thrilled and excited. Hello? Listen, but friends, you know, challenge people's prejudice. Try to take down the barrier and let's talk. Tell them, don't throw the baby with the bathwater. Hello? Listen, so even with Jesus, they face a prejudice. All right? Then Jesus offers a promise. What is a promise? Verse 10. Okay? Let's read together. Jesus answered her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. Jesus just offers on a platter. Here I am. I can offer you a drink that you cannot offer. I will give you that drink so you don't have to come here to draw water again. The promise of a Savior. And amazingly, you know what happens? The woman encounters Jesus as to who he is. And the woman actually came to faith in Christ. And now he runs back to his community and makes a proclamation. Verse 39, let's read together. Many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I ever did. It's amazing. The encounter changed the Samaritan woman. So that, church, you know what? The Samaritan woman became the first evangelist to his own people. And the first evangelist, friends, is a woman Samoa. Say to your neighbor, women very powerful. Yeah, and it's through her. You know what, friends? Through her. All the Samaritans in that village came to faith in Christ. So finally, therefore, the process of discipleship follows. Verses 40 to 42. Let's read together. So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them. And he stayed 2 days. And because of his words, many more became believers. They said to the woman, we no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world. It's amazing. One woman led to faith by Jesus himself, showing to us mission and discipleship here to the Gentiles and therefore to you and I today living in this world. Friends, out of that, she went back to her own kampong. And out of that kampong, everybody turned to faith. Jesus then spent 2 days in the kampong and began to disciple them. So that today, friends, there are Samaritan Christians to this very day, although most of them have been absorbed into local churches. And they don't want to be called Samaritan Christians because why? The word Samaritan, okay, seems to be, okay, a word, okay, that is loaded negatively in some ways. So they just call them Christians. But there are still some proud about their background and they call themselves Samaritan Christians. Where did it start? It started 2,000 years ago in Jesus breaking the barrier, reaching out, touching them, and drawing them to faith in Christ. And that's a challenge for you and I, friends, this morning as we come to a close. That you and I must understand, friends, Jesus offers this amazing, amazing opportunity for world mission that we can be involved in. And then discipling those who have come to faith in Christ and building up well and seeing them growing in the Lord. Let me close with two examples. Not too long ago, Doris and I were at a wedding dinner. And then someone came up to me, Pastor, let me introduce you to someone who has made a lot of money, but not a Christian, a friend of mine. Pastor, can I have a chat and just connect and see how? I said, sure, I'm happy to connect with anyone. Tom, Dick, and Harry, Ahmed, Amin, and Akal. Connect with them all. Okay? And so introduced me. I said, good to meet you. So wonderful. Okay? All right? I'm Pastor so-and-so. You know what? I want to invite you to my church tomorrow morning. All right? Since the wedding dinner was Saturday night. You know? Why don't you come tomorrow morning to come to my church? He said, sorry, not free. I got an appointment. The wife was standing next to him. No, la. Your appointment is Sunday afternoon, la. No, friends, wives are very, very good. And all the wives say, wow, I know today is Father's Day. Wives are amazing, amazing women. I say, we thank God for wives. No, la. You know, your appointment is actually in the afternoon, not in the morning. Okay, you know what? He came to church. And the Sunday morning, he was there to accept Jesus. You know, friends, he has gone to 3 Alpha, all right, classes. He himself has conducted Alpha in his own cell group. 4 have come to faith in Christ when he did Alpha, which he facilitated in his cell group. He's on fire for Jesus. He's been discipled well in the life of the church. He's reached out to touch many, many more for Jesus Christ. He's gobbling everything. He's studying and reading every book available. He's also part of my mentoring group, friends. That's what God wants to do, making our life count. He says, Pastor, you know, I'm moving on in age. I said, thank God you are moving on age, but not aging, okay, isn't it? So there's still hope for you and I. Together, let's go for it to make it count, make a difference in the world. Amen. One more thing, friends. At our very doorstep here in Malaysia is World Mission, friends. It's World Mission. Do you realize that? Not only how many foreign workers are here, not only from those from Myanmar background, over 100,000 are here in Kuala Lumpur alone. The tens of thousands of Nepalese workers and many, many others, friends, all here, just in Kuala Lumpur alone. But on top of that, friends, you know, how many foreign students are here? Right now, there's 150,000 foreign students here. And by 2025, it will grow to something like 250,000. I was shocked to be given a statistic. But friends, that's the reality of it all. Imagine some 150,000 foreign students in Malaysia. Church, you know what? World Mission is our doorsteps, and I want to challenge many of you. Would you consider connecting with these students? Would you consider making time for some of these students? Would you consider investing into it? Friends, I want to really urge you, encourage you, and challenge you. Do something about it, friends. When these are here at our doorsteps, you and I can make a radical difference, friends, in what men inform. When we befriend them, reach out to them, and better still, draw them to faith in Christ, begin to disciple them. Friends, can I say, they become powerful witnesses for Christ back in their home countries. They're going to touch the nations for Jesus Christ and see amazing transformation, friends. Here at our doorsteps, we can start, we can begin here. Friends, can I say? And let me end off with this. I was one of the beneficiaries as a foreign student in England over 40 years ago, when a couple in the late 30s, the man is a lecturer at Bath University at that time, and I was in Bristol, and that time with the Bristol and Bath Chinese Christian Fellowship. And here is this couple from Hong Kong, right? The man is a lecturer at university, okay? And every week without fail, he will come to encourage us, share with us, okay, guide us, help us, bless us, pray for us, all right, in the Bristol and Bath Chinese Christian Fellowship. Amazing, amazing work they have sown into our lives. And friends, can I say, as a result of that, some of us went back to our countries, Malaysia, Singapore, Hong Kong, all right, okay, Mauritius, in other parts of the world, all right, some of us have gone to as well. You know, today, many of these are exercising outstanding leadership in the churches. Many of these are used by God powerfully to touch the community, the city and nations for Christ. Church, can you think seriously about it? Sow into them so that your life, even though after you are passed on, you multiply yourself many times over in the lives of the younger ones, in the lives of students, in the lives of foreign students, even here in Malaysia, to touch the nation for Jesus. Because you never know. And you know what? One or two of them might even become prime ministers and presidents of the country. Hello? And you got a chance to show into their lives. You got a chance to show into lives, friends. Do that, my friend. All right? So that we make a radical difference in this world. And all God's people say, let's pray. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed. to come to God this morning to acknowledge God who is here. And my friend, because God is here, He wants a relationship with every one of us, like Jesus, calling everyone to Him first and foremost to have a relationship with Him. And my friend, this morning, if you do not know God in Jesus Christ, you do not have a personal relationship with Christ, I want to urge you, my friend, make today the starting point. Make today, my friend, the greatest of all days when you come and open your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so you've never done so. I believe you're here not just because of invitation of a friend or relative or whoever. You're here because God wants you to. You are special. God loves you. And He has brought you here to know that there is this God who's waiting for you. That it is Jesus Christ who is knocking at your door. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Whoever hears my voice opens the door, I will come in and eat with him, and he or she with me forever and ever. Friends, Jesus Christ wants to step in. He will never force his way in, even though he's our maker and creator. He wants a willing response on our part, a voluntary decision on our part. And so therefore, with heads bowed, eyes closed, downstairs, up in the gallery, if this morning you want to say yes to Jesus, after this, at a count of three, at a count of three, wherever you are, would you raise your hand high so I can see your hand? I want to pray for you. This is a precious moment, friends. God is here. He loves every one of us. We're all precious to Him. But greater still, when we come to know Jesus Christ, amazing change and transformation, my friend, begins. Are you ready? One, two, and three. Is there anyone downstairs? Is there anyone? Can I see your hand? If there's anyone, lift your hand high so I can see your hand. I want to pray for you. Is there anyone? You would say after me this prayer, those hands that are up, those of your hands that are not up, join in to pray to encourage these people. Say aloud with me together with you, Lord Jesus Christ, I thank and praise you for your love for me. Lord Jesus Christ, I want to say that I'm a sinner. I believe, Lord Jesus, you died on a cross for my sins. Please forgive me of my sins. And right now, Lord Jesus, come into my life. Be my Lord and my Savior. Take control of my life. Fill me with the Holy Spirit and give me your power to live as a Christian from today onwards. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Father, seal it, oh God, those who pray this prayer. Sincerely, oh God, I pray. Whether they lift up their hands or not, Lord, you know it all. When they pray this prayer sincerely, the Spirit will just come. It will touch the lives of these precious ones and draw them to faith in Christ, oh God, and begin, Father, I pray, oh God, this wonderful journey of faith in you. Bless these precious ones, oh God, I pray. Do a deep and a mighty work. Thank you, Jesus. Others, those who put up their hands or even not